Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm your guest bailiff, David Reese. This week, grime and punishment. Fran brings the case against her husband, Ben. Fran would like to hire a house cleaner to help them maintain their home and sanity with a five-month-old child. Ben refuses, insisting they can do it themselves. Who is right? Who is wrong? Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom and issues the obscure cultural reference.
You must find it pleasant to be rich.
I'm not rich.
Oh, I am often mistaken.
I worked as an artisanal pencil sharpener to come over here.
A pencil sharpener? What was the intention?
I told you to make money to come over here.
That was the reason. What was the intention? Because if work has no intention, it's not work at all. It's an empty void.
Well, what would you call podcasting?
For me, this is a religious experience.
Here, let me try that. Yeah, I feel it. It's kind of like being in church.
Would you like to try swearing them in, guest bailiff David Reese?
Yes. Ben and Fran, please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or whatever?
I do.
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling?
I do.
I do as well.
Thank you. Judge Hodgman, you may proceed.
Thank you very much, guest bailiff David Reese, star of Going Deep with David Reese, premiering this very evening on the Esquire Network at 10 p.m. Is all that information correct, David Reese?
Yes, totally correct, and thank you.
Fran and Ben, you may be seated for an immediate summary judgment in one of your favors. Can either of you, Fran, you, Ben, name the obscure piece of semi-popular culture that I paraphrased as I entered the courtroom? Ben, you are the response. I was going to give it to Fran, but that's we don't do that anymore. Ben has the option as the respondent. You've been dragged in here against your will by your wife, Fran, Ben. So you can choose either to guess or to let Fran guess first.
I would like to let Fran have first crack at this.
All right, Fran, you get the first guess. Can you name the piece of somewhat popular culture that I paraphrase as I enter the courtroom?
I cannot. I am very stumped. I would like to take a crack at the author. By any chance, is it F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Well, let's just say that if you're correct on the author, then I will give it to you. But I'm not going to say whether you're correct now or not, because Ben can use that information and formulate his own guess. Ben?
Is it, it sounds like Terry Gross interviewing David Reese. Is he the artisanal pencil sharpener that I've heard on, like, All Things Considered and Ask Me Another?
David Reese was, and perhaps as a hobbyist continues to be, an artisanal professional sharpener. David, are you still a professional artisanal pencil sharpener?
Yeah, I have like 15 orders outstanding that I have to do.
Yeah, you got to get on that, dude.
I know. I got backed up on my road trip.
But in fact, those specific references that I was making to podcasts and artisanal pencil sharpeners were a feint. That was a stand-in for what was the actual lines from the dialogue that probably wouldn't have given it away, but I wanted to personalize it. In any case, your guess is Fresh Air with Terry Gross. And I can safely say all guesses are wrong, although you came really close, Fran. If you had said W. Somerset Maugham, then I would have said that is the correct author, but I'm not going to give it to you because we still have to have this podcast no matter what. But I would have been impressed. As it is, I'm still pretty impressed because you were in the right wheelhouse. Can you, now that I've given you that information, can you guess what movie I am quoting from? It's not artisanal pencil sharpening that is a religious experience to this character. It is washing dishes.
I wondered if that had been around for a long time. Okay, so washing dishes.
David, how long have pencils been around for? Would you say that they date back to the early 20th century?
Well, the first graphite deposit was discovered in 1565 in England. And so the birth of the modern pencil traces to the mid-16th century.
Yeah, so, Fran.
Okay.
It could have been a pencil sharpener, but it was a dishwasher in a river in India. You're not going to get it.
I'm not going to get it,
that's
but
right.
No.
That's all right.
I feel like you're going to tell me and I'm going to know. It's something
yeah.
I've never seen.
I bet
seen,
you when I tell you, you do
it.
Know. Because I will be transmitting that information to you.
Because you'll have told me.
What's so embarrassing is that teenagers around the world listening to this podcast are so mad at you now, Fran, because the young people are yelling at their fake radios, duh, old lady. It's The Razor's Edge starring Bill Murray from 1984. Not the 1940s edition of the Razor, not the 1940s version of The Razor's Edge, but the Bill Murray version that he made. Apparently, this is how he agreed to make Ghostbusters. He would only make Ghostbusters if they allowed him to adapt W. Somerset Maugham's tale of a disillusioned World War I soldier finding spiritual enlightenment in India called The Razor's Edge. And he did it. And he did it. And it was Bill Murray's first dramatic role. And I was right there in the theater to go see it, because I was not only a Bill Murray fan at the age of 13, but also incredibly pretentious and was definitely going to go see an art house movie about a man's spiritual quest in India, because I was fresh off the Jewel of the Crown at that point. And so I went to see it, and I remembered, and I was really racking my brains for a cultural reference for this case, which is about house cleaning and housekeeping and the day-to-day chores, et cetera, et cetera. And I was looking up all kinds of quotes from Nell Carter on Give Me a Break, and nothing was really coming together. But then I remembered this moment in the movie, and I remembered it very, very intensely, because I remember watching it as a kid. And this guy, what happens is Bill Murray has worked in a coal mine to come over to India, and he sees a guy washing dishes in the river, and they have this conversation, and the man says, "What is the intention of your work?" And Bill Murray says, "Oh, I don't get it. I don't get it, Egon," or whatever. And the man says, "You know, for me, washing dishes is a religious experience, and I've thought about that every time I wash the dishes, and I do it quite a bit because I believe in it. And every time I do it, I try to imagine that it's a religious experience. And I'd say it's never happened for me. I feel like I am really spiritually unenlightened every time I wash the dishes and I don't see the face of God, or open my inner eye to the true nature of reality. But in any case, I still aspire to it. And of course, it's a profoundly miscast little dialogue that David Reese and I had, because there is no way in the world that I could begin to educate David Reese on the idea of work having intention. David Reese, who I'm so glad to have as the guest bailiff today, is my longtime friend, but also he's the guy washing dishes in the river as far as I'm concerned. Everything he does is utterly with intention and purpose, whether it is artisanal pencil sharpening, whether it is making clip art cartoons for Rolling Stone, and now beginning the second season of his incredible how-to show, Going Deep with David Reese, airing Wednesday nights on the Esquire Network. Everything is done with deep spiritual intention and absolutely no interest in making money. Wouldn't you say that's true, David?
Sadly, yes. But can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you chose this cultural reference, because when Esquire was talking about promoting each of the new episodes, one of which is How to Do the Dishes for the second season, I suggested that they broadcast this exact movie because it has one of the most famous scenes regarding dishwashing in cinema history. And so you have provided a cultural reference in which, when you strip away the additions that you put in to serve my pencil sharpening business, you are left with the original words, which serve my interests as a man who made a TV show on how to do the dishes. So I got you coming and going.
I know. And, you know, the truth is, in life, David Reese is my guru, because David is the one who warned me some years ago, and it still haunts me, that making a cultural reference is not the same thing as making culture. But I think I did a pretty good job, David,
yeah,
don't you think?
Totally. In this instance, making your cultural reference was 20 times better than making culture, because they're about me.
and making a cultural reference is not the same thing as making culture, but it's still better than making a podcast, which is something that we do have to do. Fran and Ben, thanks for sticking with us. I'm afraid we're out of time. Let's just say one of you is right and one of you is wrong. No, Fran, you bring the case against your husband, Ben, because
yes,
there is a dispute in your house over who, between the two of you or a yet-to-be-named third party, should do the dishes and the other house cleaning? Is that not so?
Well, the dishes we pretty much have. That is a spiritual experience for us. So we're good on that. But no, the dishes are fine. And the day-to-day cleaning's okay. It's more of like the deep cleaning stuff, the dusting light fixtures and scrubbing toilets and all that stuff.
You want to hire a housekeeper to come in and do those things?
I would like to hire a cleaning service to come in once a month to do those things.
Once a month to do those things. And part of the reason is you have this new baby.
We have this new baby.
And how old is this baby?
He's 5 months old.
This dirty baby that is messing up your house. 5 months old.
Yes.
And it is a he baby?
It is a he baby.
Right. We do not need to.
Little Thomas.
All right. You could keep it confidential if you wished, but that's a lovely and traditional name. And I would recommend still that you change it to Mom, like W. Somerset Mom. Think it over.
Okay. I think he'll enjoy that.
Now, Ben, Mom. You say no thank you. Why is this unreasonable thing for Fran to ask?
Well, we've always been kind of do-it-yourself people, and, you know, we have, you know, maintained our own house and have done a pretty good job over the last decade of living together, you know, of taking care of all that sort of thing. And, you know, part of it is I'm a big cheapskate and I don't want another bill, even if it's small.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we have this new little person that lives with us and steals all of our money and keeps us up at night. And he's taking a lot of our money. So even a small bill, if it's something that I can do myself, that Fran and I can take care of, I don't really want to outsource that or pay another person to do it when I'm perfectly fine.
Can you do it yourself? I mean, how many times, who scrubs the toilets currently?
Oh.
Well, to be honest, Fran does usually get the bathrooms more often mm-hmm. than me, but I think that she would probably agree with me that we have about as equitable of a split and a sharing as you can get. I feel like we both do housework. I clean dishes, I cook, I vacuum, I clean the blinds.
I admire that you do that, but I'm just curious.
I'm a modern man.
Yeah, I understand, Ben. No one, you're a modern dude who enjoys a joke. I get it. But I'm just saying, you know, these specific tasks that Fran is asking be outsourced to another human so that she can, I don't know, take care of this newborn baby, or devote a little bit more time to taking care of this baby and recovering. Not to suggest that you're not taking care either, but I mean, I presume you're also breastfeeding, Ben?
Oh, I get up twice a night nursing myself. Yes, I do that.
In any case, the specific tasks that Fran wants a housekeeper to take care of are, I heard, cleaning the toilets, a once monthly comprehensive dusting. Is that right, Fran? What else?
Okay, so some things on your kitchen that you don't notice, they get grungy until they get grungy, like the bottom of your microwave or the top of your refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
The microwave itself, the windows, the blinds.
Forget the windows. No one's going to do that for you. You can't hire someone.
no one's ever going to wash the windows.
No. That's a Ben job all over it. But let's just say dusting, right?
Dusting, bathrooms. What else?
Toilet scrubbing, full wipe down, grout clean tile, everything.
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be spotless, but somebody to come in and just give everything a good once over.
I think
she
when
wants
you're
a professional.
I think when you're talking about cleaning a bathroom, spotless is kind of a criterion. You don't want to leave spots. That's the whole point of the cleaning of the bathroom, is to get rid of spots. But I hear you. Right. These are the tasks that someone has to do, Ben. And are they not getting done now, currently, Fran?
They're not getting done up to my standard. They're getting done when we can get to them.
Right.
It's a pretty common thing for me to come into a weekend saying, I want to do, you know, the kitchen and the bathrooms and the floors. And then by the end of the weekend, the kitchen's done. So it's like right now.
This is all part of, given that there is chore sharing, these chores are all part of your portfolio.
For the most part. So before I got pregnant with Thomas, we were really very 50-50. And we also have a yard with, you know, it's not huge, but it's decent size and it has shrubs. And so
and a garden
and a garden and a dock. We're on a pond and Ben did a lot of work on the dock this summer. So before I got pregnant, all of that was kind of split 50-50. I would occasionally mow and he would occasionally wash blinds. But then I got pregnant and I couldn't really work in the yard. So I feel like it's been more split towards me doing housework and him doing yard work. Mm-hmm. So not to say like Ben's not doing his share. That's not it at all. I'm just feeling like I can't quite get to all the housework.
Yeah, you have a newborn and it's taking over portions of both of your lives. Yeah, the fact that you guys were washing your blinds to begin with. It's like not only was I coming to the conclusion that this was that was only something that would be done by a childless couple, but maybe a childless couple that has a problem, but that's okay. I like your standards. I am myself a tidy person who appreciates cleanliness. You live on a pond, and that pond is in what state or commonwealth or province of North America?
So we live in Lexington, South Carolina, which is the outskirts of Columbia, South Carolina.
All right. And how old are you guys?
We are 30. I'm 32, right?
Yes, and you're about to be 33 okay. In less than a month.
Okay, 32 and 34.
I'm 34.
32 and 34, and this is your first child, obviously.
Yes.
All right, and how big is your house? It sounds like an idyllic little life you have down there.
Oh, it is. It's not, it's a nice size house for us.
It's a small house. It's three bedrooms, two bath, but it's very compact, and we like it. Small house.
And obviously in something of a rural setting if you're on a pond.
Well, no, actually it is really close to the country, but it's in a subdivision that's kind of built around several ponds you know, that's how they market it, you know.
Is it a golfing community? Is that what you were talking about here?
Dolphins?
Golfing.
No. Is it a golfing community? Because no. I've been on the grounds of some golfing communities in South Carolina. They're pretty prevalent there.
I understand how you'd get that impression, but it's actually a pretty working class, middle class, you know, the kind of place where you'd be able to buy your first home.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing you're in South Carolina too, because if you lived in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts on a pond, once you had that baby, you'd have to drain that pond. They would not let you have a pond out back. You'd have to fence it in, fill it full of cement, or drain it. But in South Carolina, I think you can do whatever you want.
Pretty much.
You can live on whatever dangerous, murky, terrible body of water happens to be behind your house.
Basically like Mad Max. Although Fran's mom did tell us that we need to put a fence in on the pond, but we won't do that.
It's Mad Max in the sense that it is lawless. Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Mad Max
is not known for being full of ponds. Oh. But I got you now. That's cool. No, I got it. Yeah, it's like you're in a lawless quasi-libertarian land with religion.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have an HOA, so that gives you a...
Yeah.
Oh, man. You guys can just... that. You know what he's referring to there, David Reese?
I believe so.
Homeowners Association. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that tell you that you can't paint your house all black and put a red pentagram on it and say that you're the local Church of Satan.
Right.
Black Mass Center. But you guys could do that, and that may be exactly what I order.
We could totally do that, but please don't order that.
Well, let's just see what happens. Now, Ben, you brought up the fact that this is a middle-class, working-class area, and class figures into this, doesn't it?
I feel like it does for me. That's on my list of reasons is, feeling a little bit weird about basically, you know, implicitly saying that I don't have the time or, you know, I'm too fancy or important to do these sorts of tasks myself. And so trying to pay someone to do work that I'm not willing to do. And, you know, I come from humble background and don't necessarily like the idea of paying someone to do that. I mean, it's fine work and it's honest work, but I don't know if I want to pay someone to do that in my house.
Do you ever go to a restaurant?
We do very rarely, but, well, I guess, you know, every couple of weeks we'll go out, but, yes, I do. I do.
You have the same qualms about someone doing something that you could do yourself, such as make a food.
We have both worked in restaurants as servers and bartenders as recently as 5 years ago. So that, I mean, I feel a kind of a kindred connection when I go to a restaurant.
You should feel even worse about it then, because now you're going back there with your fancy life, thumbing your nose at your old comrades going, now you serve me. I made it.
That's only
I'm just following Ben logic.
That's only when we go back to the restaurants that we used to work at and then try to show off how fancy we are now.
How fancy are you? Are you both employed?
We are.
Yes, we both have full-time jobs.
What are your jobs, if I may ask?
Well, we both work in IT. Ben works with databases, and I work at a public media company.
And do you go into offices, Ben?
Yes, I do. I have my own office. I work for a large hospital, and I work in their legal department with several fancy lawyers. And
lawyers. You hate fancy people.
Yes. So, I mean, we both have, you know, we're both very fortunate to have good jobs, 40 plus hours a week, pretty normal.
Pretty standard.
Yeah, pretty normal. So.
And you never had a housekeeper when you were growing up, someone who came in from time to time?
No. In fact, you know, there were periods in my life when my own mom cleaned other people's houses at mm-hmm. certain times. So, so if you count her, then yes, she cleaned our house when I was a kid. But I don't think we ever had anyone come in and clean our house.
Is your mom still living?
She is. She's doing well.
So Fran, why don't you just hire Ben's mom to come in and humiliate her by making her clean her own son's home while you just sit there with your fancy feet up
and eating fancy foods.
Eating your fancy foods and with your little Lord Thomas propped on your tummy and just say, hurry it up, mom-in-law. How do you feel about Ben's reaction to this this issue of I don't want to be the kind of person who hires my mom?
Well, to back it up for just a second. So when I was, Ben's parents also live in Columbia and they're wonderful and they have helped us out so much with Thomas. And one of the things that Ben's mom did for us while I was out on maternity leave was she cleaned our kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that we were adequate cleaners, that we were pretty good cleaners until my mother-in-law cleaned our kitchen. And then I realized that we're not very good cleaners. Like our kitchen was clean for the first time ever after she cleaned it. So it made me realize that she has a skill that I'm just not sure I possess. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any problems having people come in to clean our home. I mean, it's like Ben was saying, we both used to work in the restaurant industry and I don't see anything wrong with going out to eat. I think that
No one does.
Obviously, no one does. But it's fine to work in the restaurant industry. It's fine to clean homes. Like everybody's different. Everybody likes different jobs. Maybe that makes somebody really happy and we're helping them do that.
Fran, if I may play devil's advocate for a moment here. Mm-hmm. So you learned that you guys aren't as clean as you thought you were, which is pretty common when people hit their late 20s or early 30s and they realize, oh, I've been a slob my whole life. I gotta do better than this.
So yeah. True.
And yet that doesn't mean that you could not acquire those skills and it doesn't mean that you couldn't learn from Ben's mom how to be as good as Ben's mom is at cleaning the house, as she clearly was when Ben was growing up, and thus become closer and closer to Ben's mom and become Ben's mom, which is probably why he married you in the first place.
You started off strong.
I'm not saying that because of Ben. I'm saying that because all dudes do that. All dudes marry their moms or try to at least once.
I think you kind of answered your own question why I don't want to do that. No, I'd love to spend more time with Mary Jodson, and there's always room for improvement. But I don't think that there's time in the schedule to commit to like cleaning school on the weekends right now.
Your Honor, if I may, one of your previous remarks hit. Thank you. One of your previous remarks hit incredibly close to home because my mother's name is Mary Johnson, and Fran's name is actually Mary Johnson. So she is morphing into my own mom. I thought her name was Fran when I married her, but it turned out it was Mary Frances. And there's a whole nother. They don't look alike though.
You inadvertently married a woman. Just to clarify, for the few people listening to this podcast who have not swerved off the road in amazement and died. What Ben is saying is that he inadvertently married a woman who has the same name as his own mother.
His wife is a cultural reference about his own mother.
Yes.
So Ben, let me ask you this. If I were to order you to hire a house cleaner, would you feel ashamed to reveal this information to your own mom and dad?
No, it wouldn't be that weird.
All right. Now, Fran, or if I may say, Ben's mom, Fran. I think that's your full name, right? Mama Fran.
Hello.
You've done some research. Do you have you are interested in hiring a specific person or a house cleaning service?
There's a service close to us that I'm interested in, and I've contacted them for a quote, but this was recently and I didn't hear back. I know that would be valuable information.
Well, just not to help Fran's case, but our sister-in-law, who is in a different city, quoted their service that I think for their once a month was like $80 or $100 for 2 hours of cleaning or something like that.
So that's kind of the ballpark.
I think, you know, so it's not a huge bill or a large amount of money.
Well, you've just acknowledged that it is affordable to you. I mean, if you wanted to do it, if you chose that that's what you wanted.
In all honesty, Your Honor, I'm not sure what's affordable for me right now. The past year, our money kept growing and growing. But in the past 5 months, it's I'm not sure if it's shrinking or staying the same or going up. There's this little house guest that's stealing all my stuff and all my money. I think in the big picture, I think it is, I hate to admit it, but it probably would be affordable to us.
Babies are expensive. What's the biggest expense of your baby?
Daycare.
Yeah, child
drugs.
Care for sure.
What?
what was that? Child
I was
care talking for
medicine
sure.
for the baby, I guess is what I was saying. So you have child care. What's your childcare situation?
Because
you're full-time employees.
Right.
It's a daycare that's based out of a church downtown, and they're really excellent. So.
Off-site childcare is what you got.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
And at 5 months, what's Thomas's review? Positive, negative?
Oh, I had a conference yesterday with the teacher.
He's doing very well.
Shouldn't brag on the air, but he's the only baby in the baby room that scored on the upper end of all his little milestones. So he can open those hands.
What kind of baby Olympics do they have them doing?
You know, things like making eye contact and reacting to voices and opening his fist to pick up things and how well he can hold his own bottle and things that.
I actually still have trouble with all of those. Well, good for him. So, and you like that daycare, but it's expensive.
We do. It is.
We like it, and it is expensive.
Yes.
Yeah. The costs associated with having a child are many and varied and surprising, even if you feel like you're prepared for them. And I remember when we had our first child, you know, we ended up getting a nanny, you know, a part-time caretaker, Cheryl, who came and took care of the baby for a few hours a day, usually while I was there so that I could work, you know, because I worked from home. And we paid her every week, and I had the hardest time wrapping my head around it because I was like, we could buy a DVD player every week.
Wait, you were paying her, you were paying her $35 a week?
Well, this is in 2002.
Okay.
We had bought our first DVD player. I had bought my first DVD player about 2 or 3 years before. And so I thought DVD players still cost hundreds of dollars. And I remember going through the mental agony of whether I could afford a DVD player. And now I was essentially buying one every week. And you just like, this is what has to happen. You have to do it or else this baby will not be cared for. Someone has to quit the job. And then who quits the job? Who's making more money? Who's making less money? You know, in that case, my wife was and still is a teacher. And I was a freelance writer. And it was pretty neck and neck all the way to the bottom in terms of who was earning less. But that I completely sympathize. And adding another cost is a concern. Let me ask you this, Ben. I hear all your arguments, but you know what your wife has on this list. Cleaning the undercarriage of the microwave, cleaning out the fridge, thorough dusting, cleaning out the toilets, and getting back to a regular regime of washing the blinds, finally. I guess the question is, if I'm going to find in your favor and deny your wife and you the help that she is seeking, how is that stuff going to get done? What's your proposal?
Well, you know, as it stands right now, we're not able to do those things during the week. But we've kind of settled into a pattern of Saturday. We kind of get up early and start. We'll do a couple hours of cleaning. You know, not really the deep cleaning, but, you know, we'll, you know, do the dishes, laundry, vacuum, you know, maybe do the bathrooms. And after about 2 hours of both of us doing it, our house looks great. It's a small house. You know, maybe that deeper, I can't say that I'm scrubbing the bottom of the microwave or anything, but, you know, 2 hours on a Saturday between the two of us and the house is pretty much looking
good. So your answer, when I ask you, how is that stuff going to get done? Your answer is, it's not going to get done. We're doing good enough as it is. And I don't see, no one's going to clean the undercarriage of that microwave. Because I asked you who's going to clean the microwave, and you gave me this whole other story about how you guys spend your Saturday mornings happily spending 2 hours doing a bunch of cleaning. And even though the stuff, the deep cleaning that your wife specifically wants to get done doesn't get done, it still looks good. So why do you think that that's going to be an answer over time that your wife is going to feel good about?
I was honestly hoping she would just get distracted by something else and forget about it. Move on to something else.
How long have you been married?
7 years.
Congratulations. All right. I think I've heard everything that I need to hear in order to render my decision. I'm going to go into my spotless chambers. They're not spotless. There is a lot of potato chip crumbs on the floor, let me tell you. And there's a lot of old beef jerky lying around. But I will go over there and gnaw on some old beef jerky, and I'll make up my mind, and I'll be back in a moment with my decision.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. How do you guys feel, dirty or clean?
I feel pretty clean.
Feel kind of like I've got some flop sweat happening. I was at work all day. I don't feel that great about my chances. I think I'm going to lose probably.
Oh, really?
Well,
are you going to, let me ask you a question. If he comes back out here, the judge, and says that you have to hire someone to clean your home, Ben, secretly, won't you be a little bit happy because you'll be forced to do it and you won't have to take morally, you're off the hook. You'll be like, oh, believe me, I would never do this, but the judge made me do it, so now I get a clean house. Hee, 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 hee. And then you giggle to yourself like that?
I think it will take some of the guilt out of it. If he orders me to hire a cleaning service, then I will, of course, respect his decision, and I will not feel guilty as I then go spend the money I don't have on beer that I want.
Right, exactly. Okay. I hope he forces me to get one too, because I've always wanted one and I've always felt really guilty about it. Even though my parents, who are the most decent people who've ever lived, have had house cleaners for years and years, who I had actually and they had very close and fond relationships with, because these were relationships that lasted for decades. I think if you pay them decently and treat their work with respect, you know, then that's a perfectly fine thing to have in your house.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I have, you know, absolute respect for the work. And I mean, it's honest, good work. And, you know, I'm sure we could have a good relationship with whatever person or people potentially clean our house.
And since I actually have this thing where I love doing other people's dishes, I secretly hope that the judge will force you to hire a house cleaner, and the house cleaner is me.
Would you like to come? Would you like to come visit?
We have a lot of dishes these days, David.
It's mostly bottles and
bottles, you know, pumping.
I'm good at washing dishes now. Actually, I find it very satisfying. And I grew up in North Carolina, so I'm sure that the cultural acclimation wouldn't be too traumatic for me.
You would fit in. Yeah.
Come stay with us. Can you bring some pencils with you?
I'm going to be your new baby. Okay, guys, well, we'll be back in just a moment with Judge Hodgman's decision.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Stitch Fix.
You know that boost of confidence you get when you put on an outfit that just feels good? You know what that's like. That's what I get when I use Stitch Fix. With Stitch Fix, you get a human stylist, not AI. A human being who understands your style, size, and budget. They do all the shopping for you, and it's the easiest way to update your wardrobe this season or any other.
This professional stylist picks the clothes. They can either send you a box where anything you don't want is unbelievably easy to return, or they can make a little storefront for you just from stuff that they recommend for your taste and your body. It is an absolutely incredible service. They give you styling advice, outfit recommendations, the whole thing, soup to nuts. And like I said, if you don't want it, if you don't like it, it is unfathomably easy to send it back. They give you an envelope that's big enough, that has the postage and the labels on it. All you have to do is shove the thing in there, close it up, and drop it off at your local mailing center. It is that easy.
Can I also say the stuff that my stylist at Stitch Fix picks for me, I really like it. Like, they know me, and it's really terrific. Plus, if you've got small people in your life, sadly, my small people are now adults shopping for themselves. But if you've got little kids, it's a terrific way to get togs for your kids. Style that makes you feel as you want to look. Get started today at stitchfix.com/JJHO. That's stitchfix.com/JJHO. stitchfix.com/JJHO.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Aura Frames.
Hey, Mother's Day is coming up. Do you have a mom in your life that you'd like to celebrate? There are very few better ways than giving an Aura frame to someone you care about. These are beautifully Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos of your memories with your mom, stepmom, a mentor, friend, whatever it is in your life who might enjoy seeing photos from your life. Aura frames are the way to go.
Judge, there's a very special mom in my life, Ms. Teresa Thorne.
Yes.
That's my wife, and also a whole human being in her own right. Guess what's on her bedside table? Yes, that's right. You guessed it in one, an Aura frame. What I love about the Aura frame is you don't have to load a bunch of stuff onto an SD card or whatever, like with the old digital frames. It is so easy to get the pictures on there. So like when Teresa texts me a cute picture of one of our children or our dog, or one of our siblings texts us a cute picture of one of them or one of their children, all I have to do is hit that share button on my phone and I can share it right to the frame, and then it lives there for as long as I want. I can also take it off whenever I want, but I don't even have to open the Aura Frames app, which is a great app, but I don't even have to go there. It just goes straight into wherever I want it, whichever frame I want, or I have multiple Aura Frames in my house, or all of them. It is incredibly easy. That's why Wirecutter chose it as the best digital photo frame. That's why it's one of Oprah's favorite things. It is guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use the code Hodgman at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
You may be seated. Ben, you make a reasonable argument. It's not something I say to a lot of aspiring weird dads. Because the truth is that it is a transition in one's life to hire another human being to do things that you have been doing competently or with the delusion of competency for a long time. But you are in a transitional part of your life. You know, it is not uncommon for people to have children and then suddenly realize that A, they're kind of terrible slobs, and B, they don't have the time or energy to really learn how to clean their apartment properly, and C, all their money is going away. And from a financial point of view, and particularly from a class point of view, I feel you. There are two different transitions that Fran is asking you to make. One is to start seeing yourself as the kind of person who hires someone to clean their house, which is troubling to you from a sort of class identity point of view, because that's not how you grew up. And indeed, your mom was the person who was hired to do that for other people, presumably who were more well off than you were. And two, an even simpler transition, she's asking you to become an adult, the kind of person who isn't just employed, but is now employing other people and delegating the homemaking that was your pleasure as a young couple without children for 7 years now becomes your pain and your chore. Because that's the thing, like when you move in together and you don't have a child and you guys are basically just two children yourselves playing house, washing up and cleaning up and washing those blinds and building that dock, that's all beautiful soul work that you guys are doing together, and it's fun. And then once you have that child, and that child becomes not just a money suck, which I hope is not how you always see your child, Ben, but indeed an emotional and an emotion drain and an energy drain. No matter how much you love your child, you are spending a lot of time and energy and brain work making sure a child stays alive in your household, and even beyond that, if possible, is happy. And suddenly all those things that you would do together as a young childless couple become pure time work, pure consuming chores. And it doesn't help when your mother or mother-in-law comes in and really cleans your house for the first time and you realize how terrible you've been your whole life. That's something that I definitely went through with my mom when she was alive. And those are hard transitions to make, and so hard that you would even deny your wife reasonable aid around the house in order to prevent yourself from making these transitions, these difficult transitions in life that I promise you are inevitable. What's inevitable is that your wife has identified areas of the house that are not clean to her satisfaction. And if you were to say to me, I understand that these things are not clean to her satisfaction, that she's not getting the work done and she's overtaxed, but I don't want to hire someone to do it, I'm going to do it myself, then I would say, oh boy, you're stepping up. Okay, give it a try. You'll change your mind pretty quick. But that's not what you said. Basically, what you said was, when I said, who's going to clean the underside of the microwave? You said, we have a wonderful ritual of getting up for 2 hours on Saturday, and we make the house look pretty good, and I think that's good enough. Well, first of all, it's not good enough. It'll never be good enough because your wife has changed her mind now that your mom came in. So you have only yourself to blame. And second of all, you guys deserve to enjoy one Saturday a month to not clean your whole house. You know, look, this is not to say that that hiring someone to clean your house, whether it's once a month or once a week, or to have a live-in person or whatever it is, isn't fraught with complication, interpersonal complication, and you know, class issues, and it's more likely than not going to be someone who isn't white, and so there are race issues as well, and sensitivities that have to be negotiated. And there is real true honor in getting into the river and washing the dishes yourself. It can be a religious experience. But I agree with what I heard David say through the doorway, and I live it myself, or try to. You know, when we had children, we needed help, and we got childcare, obviously, as you did as well. And then pretty quickly we realized we can't stay on top of the housework and we need some help, and we really couldn't afford it, but we found a way to afford it because we just had too much to do. Two very consuming jobs, and the very consuming and happy job of making sure the child takes a nap and is cared for and is happy and so forth. And the trick, of course, to hiring someone is that you have to be the best employer in the world. Whether you hire someone directly or you go through a service, and I think there are merits to both, and I think especially with a service, you know, if you feel you only need someone to come in once a month, a service is great because the individual who is coming to your house isn't relying on you as a major source of their income. So you can enjoy the benefits of their service. That person might be swapped out with another person as the service, you know, needs to move their personnel around. It's very much a transaction. They don't become a very personal part of your life. It's not like having Alice living in the Brady Bunch house and then becomes a part of the family, you know, which can be a wonderful experience, but has its own complications. And it would provide you with, I think, the level of affordable service that would really take a load off your plates at least one Saturday a month when you wouldn't have to do what you always do. And if you were to do it, then your one job in order to get past your class issues and worries is to do what you would normally do. You have to express, you have to respect the work that's done. You have to respect the person as a human. You have to give them a bonus at the end of the year for the holidays, equivalent to, you know, one week's pay at least. And you've got to know when their birthday is and say happy birthday and ask after their family and be nice and be a human. And then all the issues, I think, tend to be neutralized, and it becomes what it is. Someone who wants to do this work, and they do. They want to make money at this because they need money. And they may have these skills, will come into your house and perform a service for money, just as you used to make food and drink for people who were too fancy and lazy to do it themselves. And you will both then make a transition into adulthood. So it sounds as though I am going to order you to get a cleaning person, but I'm not going to. And the reason for this is that through my chamber door, I heard David articulate something that I had only just begun to form in my mind as an idea when I left the courtroom. And that's you are tricking this court, Ben. You are tricking this court into ordering you to do something that you don't want to admit would be okay. You are manipulating this court into ordering you into getting a housekeeper so your hands are clean. In all senses of the word. And I think that's pretty fancy of you.
Like some fancy lord from the South?
Yeah, I think that's some pretty fancy-pantsy trick. Some fancy lawyer stuff that you're doing on me. You're trying to, it's like, as David said, you're trying to get me to say, I couldn't help it, I had to hire this person. A fake internet judge told me to. And I think in life we have to own our decisions. And I think that we should make them as much as possible with as much knowledge as possible. And so I don't order you to get someone. I order you to clean. I order you, Ben and Fran, but Ben, you're getting the brunt of this from me right now. I order you to bring your mom around and have her show you how to clean your house. And I order you to both equitably share the additional duties that your mom feels needs be done to be a house of the quality that she saw fit to raise you in, Ben. So that's cleaning under the microwave. That's dusting and doing the toilets. That's doing all the things that Fran laid out and whatever else real Mama Fran says needs to be done. And I want you to add those chores to your Saturday mornings, and I want you to do them. And I want you to do them, whether, you know, I want you to do them diligently. And after, how old is Thomas now?
5 months.
Right. After another 5 months, then I want to hear, Ben, how you feel about hiring someone to do that stuff for you for $100 a month. I want you to take that $500 you saved, and I want you guys to go to get real Mama Fran to look after Thomas and go away for a night at a really nice hotel and have a real heart-to-heart over whether or not you want to continue to clean under the microwave. Or maybe it wouldn't just be better to spend $100 a month to pay someone in a professional capacity to do that for you. Do you understand my ruling?
We do.
Yes.
This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules that is all.
Fran, how do you feel about the judge's decision?
I like it. I think the next 5 months are going to be real interesting.
And Ben, how are you feeling?
I'm surprised. He had me going. I really thought that he was just going to order us to hire the service. Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
You know, you guys might be on to me, but honestly, I wasn't even on to that either. You might have helped me realize something about myself that I wasn't consciously admitting to.
Totally. Well, that stuff runs very deep. And it actually, between the three of us, that informs like 80% of my interactions with the judge. He's always taking me to these fancy hotels and restaurants under my meek protestations like, oh, I would never go here on my own, but the judge is making me go to this super nice hotel. You know, right. I'm too punk rock to eat Parmesan fries at the fanciest hotel in LA. If only we could sleep under this culvert. So I'm on to you, son. I know the way the game is played because I basically invented the game.
No, you're right. I think part of me would have been relieved with just hiring the service, but now we get to go the hard road and really up that to 4 hours each of cleaning on Saturday mornings for the next 5 months.
You don't even know if it's 4 hours. You have to have your mom come in and walk you through it.
Wow, but she is literally like a Jedi Knight of cleaning. So yeah, we'll learn from her.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know what? I'd like to be there too. If I could get down to South Carolina, I'd love to hear what her checklist is. It'd be intense. In fact, here's what I want. I want you to write up her checklist.
Oh yeah.
And I want to share it with the listening audience.
Yes.
I want you to send it in.
Okay.
And I want details, you guys. Just record it. And then I was going to say hire someone to transcribe it, but you're too fancy for that. I mean, you're too punk rock for that. I want details of what she wants done and how she wants you to do it. And you can buzz market specific products because sometimes you have to.
Fran and Ben, thank you both for being on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
All right.
You're very welcome.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast. I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class, tomorrow's exam will cover the science of perfect pitch, the history of pride flags, and speedrunning video games. Any questions? Ah, yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else.
My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
That was fun, Judge.
Yeah, welcome to my chambers. I am now very self-conscious about my dust-covered Venetian blinds. You can write your name in them if you wish. That's what I should have. People who come and visit should write their initials into the dust on my Venetian blinds. David, what a pleasure to have you here on the show on what is the premiere of your television program, season 2 of Going Deep with David Reese on the Esquire Channel Network.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really, really fun.
Let me ask you a question, David.
Yes.
If people want to check out your show, what do they need to do?
Oh, boy. They have to find the Esquire Network.
How do they do that?
On their local cable provider. They can go to Esquire's website, which should have a list of, given where they live, how to find it.
Yeah, just Google Going Deep with David Reese, and you will get sent to tv.esquire.com/goingdeepdavidreese, R-E-E-S, and then there's a channel finder. And then here's what I suggest you guys do. Set your DVR right now for 10 p.m. on your Esquire network on your local cable provider. And watch it at 10 p.m. and talk about it on social media. And then watch it again 1 to 7 days after. Why do I suggest you do this? I think you're going to like it. I think you'll be a happier person if you watch this program. It's really a lot of fun. And David is fantastic on it. And the fact is that if you don't like it, you've lost, what is it without commercials, David? 20 minutes?
Something like that. 22 minutes, maybe?
Right. You've lost 22 minutes. But if you do like it, you'll not only have the pleasure of having seen it, but having seen it in a way that helps it survive. Because if you just look at this thing on YouTube 2 years from now after it's been canceled, let me tell you from experience with Bored to Death, it doesn't help. Please, whether it is Going Deep or anything else, and I hope it's Going Deep, vote with your eyeballs and watch and buy content in the ways that they ask you to watch and buy, because it helps them to make money and survive. And in this case, you may not be a contributing to a Nielsen poll, but if you DVR something and you watch it within the first 7 days, I bet you that information gets somewhere.
Totally does.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. So, thank you, John. I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate the show an awful lot. And it's not just because I got to be on the How to Take a Nap episode, but which is probably, you know, one of, how many episodes are there?
8 new episodes.
It's probably one of the 8 best of the second season.
Right. Without question.
But I also believe strongly, and I hope that the listeners of Judge John Hodgman agree, that you can like whatever you like. Obviously, you're under no obligation to support something, but if you feel strongly enough that you want to, the way to do it is to not talk about it to your friends, is not to up thumb a thing on Facebook one time. It's to actually purchase the content if it's for sale, or engage with it in the way that it asks you to engage with it, because if they're asking you, that's probably the way they need people to engage with it in order to survive. So that's just a thought to the internet generation. David, who produced and edited this episode?
Julia Smith produces the show. Mark McConville is our editor.
Hooray. Thanks, guys. And who named this episode?
Thanks to Allison McDonough for suggesting this week's case name. to suggest a name for a future case, like us on Facebook. The show regularly puts out a call for submissions. If you have a dispute for the judge, write up the details and submit it at www.MaximumFun.org/JJHO. And thanks to Josh Feinstein at Angry Lamb Studios for engineering this week. I've been your guest bailiff, David Rees. Thanks for joining us on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.